Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hello, this is Ann Nelson, your host for the show. Today, our guest is Louise Agnew, author of the book Worthy Women and director of The Life Group, a company that specializes in financial education, planning, and property services. Based on the Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia, their motto is to plan, protect, and prosper. Louise has over 15 years' experience in the financial planning industry, and together with her husband, Jason, have seen it all. From property spruikers, land syndicate deals, and managed funds all going wrong during the global financial crisis, Louise decided to do something to stop these mass losses to clients by lobbying for better financial literacy reform and programs to ensure Australians, and in particular older women, would never again lay victim to other people controlling their financial and investment decisions. We're very pleased to welcome Louise to the show. I start my interviews asking for a brief background. So for my listeners, Louise, would you be able to share with us where you came from?
Yes, sure. So I originally started in the UK, where I went into hospitality after doing a degree in America and following it up with a marketing degree in South Africa. Went into hospitality and then sort of decided that, you know, anybody that went to the top in hospitality kind of needed financial experience. So I then went into sort of an accounting firm and landed myself a job in London with a financial planning team, of all things, and worked with them for several years, and actually really found that I enjoyed that and the client work more than I actually enjoyed sort of the work I'd done in accounting. So that really leveraged my passion, I guess, for the industry. So when I moved over to Australia with my husband, the natural thing for me to do was to look into finance and financial planning, and managed to get a role as a financial advisor over here after doing some studies. And really, it just went from strength to strength. I had a real passion for it. I loved the client work and loved making a real difference in people's lives. So I worked in lots of boutique companies, as well as, you know, on the back of property companies for the big banks. So I've had a real array of experience, and now being on our own for the last 3 years in our business, we've really taken the best bits from everything and created a very service experience business, which is really the most important part for us, and we absolutely love what we do.
Well, that's very important, to love your work, that's for sure. And what led you in particular into education?
So I really saw in Australia that there was quite a need for financial literacy and education. I think that that's probably one area where the government had, you know, implemented superannuation, which is a fantastic system, but actually not really educated people about the benefits of it, or given, you know, valid information about why people needed to do it and to put money into super. So that was sort of one area that I felt needed a bit more education, but also the philosophy around having a welfare system here, I think, made it seem almost too easy. And also people always have a backup plan, or at least could always fall back on that. And so it just didn't seem that financial education was as important. And I think as it's got harder and harder to access any kind of benefit or any kind of help, I think people have really shifted into wanting to take more control and accountability of their finances, which has just been phenomenal, and hopefully definitely an area that will continue to expand.
Have you found it that most people really don't know how much money they have got saved in away for retirement?
Definitely. So certainly in superannuation, most people don't know what they're paying in fees, if there's insurance, or how much they really have. So that's critical because that is still your money. And essentially, you can do quite a lot within the superannuation sphere. The other thing is that people are not even overly aware of what interest rate they're paying on their mortgages. So to me, that's really scary, simply for the fact that this is a really big investment that people have made. And once they've got it set up and structured, it's kind of a set and forget. We really try and encourage our clients to consistently review this. The market is changing all the time. Interest rates change a lot. And you can really take advantage of, you know, some great structuring that is available to us. So often people just sort of ignore the thing that's probably the most expensive outlay for them on a monthly basis.
Right. People should be getting financial advice. And ideally, could you give us an idea of when people should be seeking advice and when do they actually do get advice?
Yeah, so the most critical time that people actually seek advice is often when something's happened or something's gone wrong or, you know, a major life change. It's pretty unfortunate that that is when people look out for financial advice. You know, certainly when you're getting into your 50s and, you know, partner's had cancer or a mini heart attack or something that's happened that's really triggered an emotional response. The other time I think that people look at it is death in the family or moving out of the workforce or potentially, you know, getting made redundant. The time that I would suggest best to look at your finances is probably when you're getting married. So at a really happy time in your life, that would be ideal. And really making sure that as a couple, your goals and your objectives are congruent all the time, which is why we like to have reviews with our clients. And I would say many marriages have been saved due to us having reviews and just making sure that people are still on track. And if they're not, then creating new goals so that they're on that journey in life together.
It's very, very inspiring. So how often should they come to see you?
So every client is going to be different. They might have a different sort of package with their advisor. Generally, you're offered an annual review. So that is sort of a statutory thing in our industry now, is that, you know, people do are entitled to an annual review and should be getting them, or at least if they're not getting them, they should be getting letters or something signed off to say that they are not accepting those annual reviews. For our business, when we take on clients, they really become part of the community and the family that we offer. And so we generally, depending on their package, we'll see them, we'll have monthly calls or, you know, quarterly calls, depending on what the client needs. And they always have an annual review. The clients that are paying more, that have a lot more sort of complex strategies, we'll see them up to four times a year if we really need to. So, yeah, it really depends on your personal relationship with your advisor.
I see. Thank you for that. And what are people ignorant about as far as superannuation? Because most of them sort of have this set and forget philosophy, but it really can cost them money if they don't pay attention.
Yeah, so fees are the big thing. I'm always banging on about it, but there are six different fees within superannuation. So some people are paying all six of those fees. Some are only paying two out of the six. Some people are paying advisor fees without ever having heard from or know that they even have an advisor attached to it. And that depends if they're in an institutional fund or a corporate fund. They also are paying, you know, performance fees and management fees. Hopefully this is on a percentage so that if they're making money, then the fund manager will make money. But if you're losing money, hopefully the fund manager's not making a lot of money off that. But there are certainly things like trustee fees, administration, member fees. There's insurance premiums. So some people are not even aware that they have insurances within their super. And I met with someone recently who was 60 and kept saying, my super's going backwards really dramatically. And we were looking at the investments and I'm like, well, the investments are pretty strong. That's okay. And then we looked at the insurance and the insurance was just absolutely eating up, you know, a huge portion because of the age. And he probably didn't need that much insurance at that age too. So really important just to get those sorts of things reviewed.
That's really, really interesting. I'm sure most people would not have any idea that that was going on.
Yep. Yep, that's right.
And just in the different types of investment fields out there that we're eligible to invest in, what is more popular these days? I know traditionally people invest in property outside of super, but what's changed with investing preferences?
So it was generally investment property outside of super. Negative gearing was a huge thing to, you know, reduce people's tax. Investment properties are still a pretty good investment outside of super, but generally more neutral to positively geared would be better. It just depends on your tax rate, obviously, and your personal circumstances. In salary sacrificing into super is becoming better known, and people are starting to put these strategies in place. So with self-managed super funds, you know, you really can actually put quite a bit of money into your super, as well as then leverage and borrow within your super fund too. So there's some great strategies there. Once you come up to retirement age around 55, 56, depending when you were born, there's transition to retirement strategies, which means that you can really lower your external taxable income whilst putting money into super and drawing the difference out. So therefore the difference is that your lifestyle costs don't necessarily change too much, but your tax position changes enormously. So we've had a strategy lately where we've only been able to save someone, you know, $4,000 in tax a year by utilizing a very small version of a transition to retirement. But then we've had up to $17,000-$18,000 in tax savings to those clients who are on much higher tax incomes with much bigger super funds. So there's some very clever ways these days to be able to really take advantage and put more of your own money back in your pocket.
I see. So it sounds like getting advice is the best way forward. We talked in your introduction, you're the author of the book Worthy Women. So could you please tell us about what led you to write your book and a bit about the book, please?
Yeah, so, you know, financial literacy just sort of needs a bit of a boost in Australia, and I thought what better way to get some really basic fundamentals out there. You know, we're really just not taught this stuff at school at all. So I've put together a book that's more like a workbook where you can actually work through all the stages. So as you get more sophisticated, you know, and you've got your budgeting under control, you've got a surplus, and then you want to start looking at your superannuation, and then you can look at further investments and sort of look at property investments. So I've really staggered it out to make sure that you've got your fundamentals right first, with your asset protection in place as well, paying off your mortgage really well, and then only start to look at your super and your insurances, your super and other investments later on. So it's really a foundations book that helps people just get familiar with terminology. I was also finding a lot of females weren't necessarily going out to see financial advisors because they were afraid they might feel silly and not understand. So the book hopefully will help people to feel more confident and be able to sit in front of an advisor and have a better understanding of what they're talking about. It's about, you know, really empowering yourself and also taking accountability yourself and knowing the questions to ask.
Is it suitable for all ages?
Yes, so it is designed for all ages, and if you're practical and you go through the steps, you can actually work out how it fits and meets. You know, there might be people in their 20s that really just want the budgeting component until they get that right and understand debt, but you've also got equally people in their 40s and 50s that probably in the same situation had a divorce, come out with very little, and are really having to start with budgeting and asset protection and things like that and insurances at that stage, you know, if they've got children. So it doesn't really matter. We do have a life stage program where at different stages in your life you can have different advice. But realistically, the book is perfect for any age group.
Okay, that sounds interesting. Are you able to tell me a little bit more about your life stage program?
Yeah, so life stages is about really getting on top of your financial well-being at those different stages. I guess the marriage is probably, you know, prior to marriage, most people are quite independent and enjoying spending what they're earning. But usually marriage is kind of where people start to assess where they're at. From there, you're having children and babies and maybe going to one salary from two salaries. So that's a really critical life stage to start looking at. We then get past all of that, and then you've got high school children who are transitioning into university, and you're looking at that empty nest stage. Again, any health issues that come up, that's kind of a different life stage for people. And of course, divorce. I mean, you know, women and men affected by divorce, that really is an important time to get some financial advice. Accidents and payouts, you know, getting claims paid out and things like that. There's those sort of stages as well. So, and then of course you go into pre-retirement and retirement.
Okay. The government seems to take great delight in changing the goalposts on a bit of a regular basis these days. What have you got some comments you'd like to make on the latest changes to the superannuation scheme that we have here in Australia, what the tax rules will be?
Yeah, look, I'm a bit of an optimist when it comes to this sort of stuff. Every time they make a change, I work out, okay, so, you know, who's going to benefit from this change? How does this benefit? And which clients do we need to be phoning up to say, right, these are the changes and this is the situation? A lot of the time, you know, whether you agree or don't agree, they've put these changes in for a good reason. So to understand that underlying reason is quite important. The last changes, look, were obviously an opportunity for us because there were such significant changes, the $500,000 lifetime cap in superannuation, you know, that really allowed us to be phoning clients and saying, okay, we're on sort of high alert, this might change, we're just waiting for legislation to come through. But it also gave us the opportunity to talk to those clients again, which is never a bad thing. But now the legislation has come through, you know, and it's now $100,000 a year for 3-year rolling, et cetera, et cetera. They have pulled back on the 500 and it is more advantageous. So it's been even, you know, even better to be able to then ring those clients and go, okay, it's not what we expected. It's actually better. And we can actually continue with what we were planning all along. So I think sometimes change is necessary. Sometimes it does affect the very high net wealth. But I think all in all, the idea is that, you know, those that need the pension can access the pension and there will be more money for them for longer, you know, which is really important. But we like to have the philosophy that, you know, no matter what stage you're in, we really want to work hard to make sure that you're a self-funded retiree, because then these changes hopefully don't affect you too much over your retirement years.
That's very important. Are there any other popular strategies you wish to talk to us about today for pre-retirees and retirees?
Yeah, so just the transition to retirement strategy, if you're at that stage, you know, definitely worth consideration, or at least having the conversation around whether it's going to be relevant for you or not. It can make a small difference, but it can also make a huge difference. And I think any difference and any more money in your pocket is obviously more beneficial. When it comes to financial planning fees, we're a fee-for-service business, but not every financial planner is at this stage, even though, you know, the legislation is going that way. I think it is valuable to pay for financial planning advice. To be honest, I haven't really found many clients objecting to paying fees. I think as long as they can see the long-term gain and, you know, even the annual financial gain, it's definitely worthwhile looking at seeking advice, you know, and even if it's just for a conversation, just to see where you're at. And even if you think you're on track, it's always good to have a double check, because, you know, I have people coming in who are pretty much on track and there's not a lot more we can do for them, or we can say there's a couple things here, but overall, you know, you're doing pretty well. So, you know, not every single person has to be a client, but we just love to speak to people and just really see where they're at and hopefully make financial planning something that every customer, every person in Australia, or every working person in Australia will actually not be afraid to go and get.
Yes, I can see that if most people aren't familiar with a lot of financial strategies and they really have to be focused to learn about it, and I'm sure they would benefit greatly from getting financial advice so that they will, in the long term, they think it's going to cost them money, but in the long term it's going to save them money, isn't it?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. You know, there's a lot of people, another time when people always come to us is where they've tried a few things themselves and found that they haven't worked, and then they come to us and say, oh, now I need financial advice. You're like, oh, man, if only you'd come to me, you know, before you'd tried all these things, because I have the answer for you. So, yeah, I mean, people love to try it themselves and, you know, everybody likes to think they're in control of their money, but I just don't think there's no harm in getting guidance along the way, and I wish I had really asked those questions earlier on as well. So, yeah, so there's a lot of value in it.
Okay, and then the earlier you start, the better, because you've got the benefit then of the long-term effect of building your base.
Yes, always going to be better if you start early, but, you know, there's those of us that went to the UK for 10 years and had a whole lot of fun before we really got serious about thinking about this sort of stuff. So, you know, and that's okay. It's great to experience life as well, but you just got to, got to play catch up a little bit. But, yeah, the earlier you start, definitely, if you've got the right process in place, you can achieve great results. But, you know, even people who have lost everything in their 40s, you can bounce back. You really can. I know I do speak to some clients and they say, you know, we're bankrupt in our late 40s, early 50s. You know, where do we go from now? Okay, you have to work until you're 70. But often the experience you've had means that you're actually going to make that money quicker because you're a lot more experienced and you actually will take more risks, or that you've got a better understanding of what you're doing too. So certainly, you know, yes, it's best to start earlier, but if you're not in that position, it's still worth looking at financial planning.
Well, that's very good advice. I see that you write a lot of articles. Could you please tell us if our listeners wanted to have a look at your work or follow you through your writing, where would they find you?
Yep, so I do send out blogs regularly with some, you know, very informative, credible information and updates about things that are changing in the industry, and also just, you know, not so much opinion pieces but educational pieces. And people, I have had, you know, even one client that came to visit me, I said, how do you know about me? How have you heard about me? Oh, I've been printing and reading your blogs every week for the last 2 years. So I was like, oh, wow, had no idea. So that was pretty exciting to know that that information that I'm putting out there is really valuable. So you can jump on our website, lifeacademy.com.au. So that's L-Y-F-E, academy.com.au. There's a button there to sign up for our newsletter, and I think we're just about to change it to an article that you can download, and then you'll start receiving our blogs as well. So our phone numbers are on there, so I'm always happy to have a chat if anybody wants to contact me directly.
Okay, that's very, very good. And where are you located? Do you have clients around the country, or where's your base?
Yeah, look, our base is Gold Coast because we love the lifestyle, and my husband surfs, and hopefully our kids will all be surfers too. But we've got clients all over the country, and I do love going to Sydney and Melbourne to catch up with our clients. We've got clients in WA as well, in Perth. So, oh, look, we've got clients all over. If I really think about it, there's one in Emerald, there's a few in Darwin, even Port Hedland on the other side of the country. So, yeah, Sunshine Coast, etc. So we are a national company, and we just jump on Skype or telephone. I find telephone people are, it's quick and easy, and most people love to chat on the phone anyway when it comes to their finances. So, yep, we're always available to our clients, and we do actually set times in the year that we will go nationally to visit with our clients as well.
Okay, and just finally, what would you say your business specializes in for the listeners?
So superannuation and insurance is a huge part of our business. It's really the core. We also have an investment property team, but we only use the investment property strategies for those clients that it's appropriate for. My specialty, my actual individual specialty, is self-managed super fund. I'm very, very passionate about that area, and I do believe that over the next 10 to 15 years, most people in Australia will actually have self-managed super funds. It doesn't mean you have to self-manage them. Doesn't mean that it's a DIY fund and that you're responsible and that you're taking care of absolutely everything in there. You do still use financial advisors to guide you through and assist you with it. But yeah, it's definitely a platform where people have more control and can make some informative decisions themselves if they choose to.
Right. I thought that self-managed super funds were gaining in popularity. And is that not just for self-employed people, that's for other people as well starting them up?
Yeah, certainly. For anyone that has funds, combined funds of $150,000 and over, if you're looking at property and doing borrowing, you probably need over $200,000. But from about $150,000, it's worthwhile looking at. So, you know, that probably cuts out a fair chunk of the working market. However, when you're getting to that stage in your super where both yourself and a partner are getting around the $150,000 and you actually want to take a bit more control of that money, and then that's the best time to be looking at doing it.
Right. Okay. So is there any parting words you want to give to our listeners, some pearls of wisdom to pass on?
Yeah, just, you know, don't believe everything you hear out there, and please don't believe everything you hear at a barbecue conversation. You know, take everything a bit pinch of salt and find out the answers for yourself. There's plenty of financial planners that if they don't have the expertise in what you're asking, they can refer you on. Certainly they should not be advising on things that they're not credible or qualified to advise on. But I would certainly be, you know, not just relying on your accountant, because accountants look backwards as to what the financials were. They don't really do a lot of strategy unless they're a business type of accountant. They don't do a lot of sort of forward planning and forward strategy. So you do really need a financial advisor to help you move forward in your life. And always good to bounce ideas between a few different advisors. At the back of my book, there is also a list of questions to ask financial advisors if you are a little bit unsure of the types of questions to ask. There is a list there as well that will help anyone take that step.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Louise. It was great of you to give us your time today. I have been talking with Louise Agnew, author of Worthy Women and director of The Life Group that specialises in financial education, planning and property services. Thanks very much, Louise.
Thank you, Anne. Really appreciate your time today as well and getting our message out. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.